From HanselMinutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 334, recorded live Thursday, August 23rd, 2012. This episode is brought to you by Telerik, offering the best in developer tools and support, online at telerik.com, and by franklins.net, training developers to work smarter, and now offering Gesture Pack, a powerful gesture recording and recognition system for Microsoft Kinect for Windows developers. Details at gesturepak.com. In this episode, Scott Hunter and Damian Edwards talk to a new developer on the ASP.NET team, Taylor Mullen, about how he interviewed and joined Microsoft.
Hi, this is Scott Hunter and
Damian Edwards
and Taylor Mullen.
And we're filling in for Scott Hanselman this week because Damian and I walked down the hallway and we couldn't find Scott. And we saw it was getting to the end of the week and we're like, where's Hanselman it's going to come from this week? And we thought, heck, we'll just record it ourselves. So the topic we thought we'd do today is, what is it like to join Microsoft? What is it like to come out of college and join the Borg? So we've got N. Taylor Mullen here today, and he's going to tell us about how he joined Microsoft. So how did you get here?
So it all started off in college, and one day, senior year, we had an evangelist from Microsoft come in. Her name was Lindsay Lindstrom. And she came in and said that the Imagine Cup would be a really great opportunity to go ahead and get us introduced to the whole Microsoft world and potentially show what we've been working on through college and what we could potentially do. So started working on our Imagine Cup projects, and we ended up...
So first off, what were you doing at college when, you know, this evangelist came to Microsoft, from Microsoft?
So at the time, it was, again, beginning of senior year, and me and my teammates, Matthew Lesnack and Keith Ayers, were just programming, trying to get through classes, and basically just doing little side projects. So we had been working on this game called Math Dash, and it was a mobile game for, guess what, the Windows Phone 7. And when we heard about this Imagine Cup, it ended up working perfectly to fit into the whole Imagine Cup goals. So we started on this whole process of doing the Imagine Cup.
So how long have you actually been here now, Taylor? N. Taylor.
I just do Taylor.
What is Imagine Cup?
What is Imagine Cup? Well, before that, how long have you been here?
So I've been here for around, is it a month and a week now? So yeah, it's been a great experience so far.
And so you said you were first introduced to Microsoft by this evangelist talking to you about the Imagine Cup. Can you tell the listeners what the Imagine Cup is? Because I imagine a lot of people, no pun intended, haven't actually heard of it.
So the Imagine Cup is a Microsoft-run competition, a technology competition, where they challenge students to create some source of technology to really help better the world. And you can do things from making a website to making a game, anything that could really make a difference to the world and even to the United States as a whole, to make education or health or just some aspect better.
So what are some of the topics that they've chosen for previous years, Imagine Cups, as an example of the type of thing they're talking about, and what was the topic that they chose for the year that you were involved?
So the theme of this year's Imagine Cup was to imagine a world where technology helps solve the world's toughest problems. And they give you like three main categories of what you can choose from. So there's a software design category, there's a game design category, which has two other categories in it, which is Xbox and Windows Phone. So you have the chance to compete in these three categories, and I decided to go ahead, or my team and I decided to go ahead and do the Windows Phone game category.
That's interesting. I've worked with someone who won the Imagine Cup in Australia before, and back when I worked at Redify, we had a guy join who'd recently just won the Cup in Australia, and they went on to win the Worldwide Cup as well. So did you have any success in the Imagine Cup once you actually, you know, got involved?
So the whole thing started out with just the National Imagine Cup, where we had to go ahead and compete against everyone in the United States. And we ended up being really successful. We got into the finals, and the next thing we knew it, we ended up winning the National Imagine Cup for the Windows Game Design Windows Phone category. So we then ended up going ahead and going further and saying, well, we'd really like to do this on an international level. So we then ended up competing in the international competition, which for the game design film category was completely different. We had to recompete and all go through all the rounds. We ended up again becoming finals, and we actually took first, just like in the nationals for the international competition. Actually, it was out in Australia, so that was it was a very, very fun experience, and obviously helped me get into Microsoft. Really, kind of showed me how awesome Microsoft is and how diverse it really is to be here.
So after you guys won the Imagine Cup, did we come out and ask you to join Microsoft, or what was the next step there? How did you end up here?
So through the whole process, basically everything we did had Microsoft somewhat attached to it. And so it couldn't really help but like kind of view how awesome Microsoft really was. So Lindsay, our evangelist, she came up to us and said, guys, why don't you try applying for Microsoft? This could really work out. And so at the time, I applied to Microsoft. This was actually before I had won the national competition and before I won the international competition. But I'm like, this is worth a shot, and I'm really, really liking what I see. So went ahead and applied, and hey, here I am now.
So when you say you applied, does that mean you went to careers.microsoft.com and filled out a resume there, or how did you actually apply?
So it was kind of a mix of both. At first, we had talked to Lindsay, and she said, oh, well, I'll get you in touch with someone. But then they said, you know what, we should really go the proper route with this, and go ahead and fill out something on careers.microsoft.com, and see what comes about. So we did that. When I say we, I'm talking about me and my other teammates, which were on the team for the Imagine Cup. And so we went ahead and filled that out, and we got contacted. We went through interviews, and next thing I know, I was flying out to Seattle to have my on-site.
So I've heard all these crazy stories about these Microsoft interviews being tough and brutal and stuff like that. So can you tell us a little bit about what the interview was like?
I have to say, there's definitely a lot of talk out there of Microsoft interviews might not be as hard as other ones, but I interviewed at Google. I interviewed at a lot of other top-notch companies, and Microsoft was definitely of equal caliber and very difficult, enjoyable, almost over. It was enjoying but nerve-wracking at the same time because I went through the interviews. I'm like, oh, did I answer that well enough? Was that the correct answer? Is there a better answer? And you're just constantly doubting yourself and kind of checking. But it was a great experience.
It's interesting to hear people's experiences about the interview process and whatnot, because I don't think a lot of people talk about it openly for one reason or another. Myself, I mean, I've been here nearly 3 years now. I was what we call an industry hire, and I know Scott has talked about this on the podcast before, the ratio between what we call industry hires at Microsoft versus college hires. Now, I'm assuming that you're classified as a college hire because you came straight out of college. So I'm wondering if the types of things that they were testing were a little bit different. Also, you applied for a developer role, and I obviously interviewed for a program management role. So I know when I interviewed, I interviewed with a bunch of different program managers. I think, Scott, I interviewed with your boss at the time, Simon Calvert. I interviewed with a bunch of people from the team I was going to join, my immediate boss, and then his boss's boss, and a few others. It was five or six in the day. But the topics weren't about programming as such because I was going to be a program manager. It was more about product development, that type of thing. But what type of things do they talk about, the developers?
Actually, I'd like to interject as well. I think when you and I interviewed, we both interviewed knowing what team we were going to go in as well. And that's something I'd love to hear if Taylor knew what team he was going to join, or he was just interviewing broadly across Microsoft and just kind of landed over here. So I'd love to know, as I said, we both interviewed specifically for the ASP.NET team or the Visual Web Developer team. So who did you interview for?
So when I first started, they give you this little sheet and they say, what would you like to be a part of? What team would you like to be a part of? Because being a college hire, as I am, you don't apply for a specific team. They really try and place you in a team that really works for you. So I am really into new technology, finding stuff that is basically bleeding edge and really making a difference in the tech industry. So I ended up interviewing for the Windows Azure team, as here I am now, and it was just one of these things where I'm like, wow, this is perfect. Like, cloud computing, what could be less impactful as this? So it was absolutely enormous to kind of get this opportunity to interview for a team, which was exactly what I wanted. And as for naming your question of, like, kind of what type of questions I was asked or how was it like and my experience with it. I kind of came in after reading a lot of the interviews online thinking there's not going to be too much code. Maybe it'll be 50-50. Well, it ended up being just one, basically a program question per interview with multiple interviews in a single day. And as they went through, it got harder and harder and harder. So it was just a progressive thing where I'm like, oh, the next interview, they want to ask me a programming question. And I eventually ended up getting to the very last question or very last interview. And usually Microsoft needs the very last one. It means that you've done pretty well so far. So I'm sitting there and I am interviewing with basically my 2B boss's boss. And he's asking me this really, really difficult question. It's hard to wrap your head around. And then he also then goes ahead and says, all right, you need to program this right now on the computer. So usually you might be able to get away with, okay, I'll whiteboard it and abstract some ideas out. But then I had to sit down there and really kind of work this out. And it was absolutely nerve-wracking doing this for my boss's boss's boss. And then on top of that, trying to figure out this almost what seemed like impossible question, but it ended up working out in the end. I somehow pulled it together, but it was an absolutely fantastic experience, to say the least.
So after that day was over and you walked away, how long was it till you got an offer from Microsoft? Was it when you left? Was it when you got home? How did that work out?
Well, after having gone there, I heard it had been usually is like around like a week and a half or so. But I ended up lucking out, and I think I got it the next day. So they really had a really fast turnaround. You hear all these horror stories about how it can be really difficult for a recruiter to really just keep on touch with the people who they're recruiting. Well, for Microsoft, I had a fantastic experience. It was almost instant turnaround for everything that I did, and instant feedback, so I knew what I did right, what I did wrong, where I was going, and what I could potentially have in the future.
So after all that, you get an offer at Microsoft, and I'm curious, what's the experience like when you first come up here, the first day at work? What is that like at Microsoft?
Well, I went ahead and, for the first day at work for any Microsoft employees, you have something called NEO, New Employee Orientation. And first thing you realize is that you're not alone. There is around 300-400 people sitting in one enormous room with you. I think Microsoft hires something like 12,000 brand new employees a year. And being a company of only basically 100,000 people, that's absolutely enormous. So seeing all these other people around you, first off, you're like, wow, there's a lot of people. The next, they go ahead and ask everyone a question. So where is everyone from? What countries are you from? And we ended up having like 35 different countries from around the world, and it really showed how diverse Microsoft really is. Like, you aren't just all from America or all from just one given country. You're from all around the world, and you're interacting with people who have different cultures, different skill sets, and it was just a blow mind and absolutely exciting. You're basically shaking the whole day because you're so excited to be there. You're just like, wow, I can't believe this is actually happening. This is something I've dreamed of my entire life, and next thing you know, here you are, and you're actually doing your dream.
I'll be curious to ask this around the entire room here. I remember when I went through that same process, and I remember the first day we went through this NEO process, new employee orientation, and the second day, I think you could leave early and go to your office and check out your office for the first time. And I've worked at a few places in my career, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to walk in, and there's going to be like a desk set up with all my stuff. And I remember I walked in, and there was just a pile of boxes with computers and monitors and stuff like this. And I'm like, really? Microsoft? I mean, we got 100,000 employees, and it's build your own? was that your experience, Damien?
That's exactly what happened to me. So again, after NEO, they said, oh, if you get through this early, you can leave early and go into your office. A lot of people wouldn't do that. So we got out at like 3 o'clock or something, and I found the building. You learn how the shuttles work, the campus is enormous, obviously. So as a newcomer, you're trying to figure out, how do I get from where NEO is in this particular building over to wherever it is I'm going? And at that point, it was building 42. And I found the office, and then it's like, oh, there's a desk with a box with a mini tower in it, and two monitors and new boxes, and a box with a keyboard, and a box with a mouse. And it's like, build your computer. I don't know, not to mention a box with RAM and a box with an extra hard drive. So I had to actually take the computer apart, put extra bits in it, and then for me, that was fine. I've been working computers since I was 15. I've built, you know, hundreds if not thousands of computers before, but it was jarring in some way. I was like, oh, I expected MSIT or whoever, you know, would just take care of this, but it was actually kind of empowering too. So, you know, N Taylor, was it the same for you, or?
You can just call me Taylor, but yeah. But what is it called? It was absolutely jarring for me too. Yeah, I got there was a big pile of boxes, and I'm like, wait, did they forget to set my stuff up?
Same reaction we all had. It's like, I don't know why we expected it, because at the end of the day, as Damien said, you know, in some ways, it's your computer, you want to own it, you want to set it up your way, you want it to be your way. So, I mean, in some ways, it's a lot better. If I came into a machine that was already set up, I probably would have just paved it down anyways and set it up my way. But it is funny to go, okay, this huge company, and your first day, it's like a stack of boxes.
Oh, yeah.
The other funny thing I remember was my boss at the time walked me to my office, and I knew how to walk to his office and back to my office. And then later in the day, I found myself in a corner of the building, and you know, as Damien said, the campus is huge, and these buildings are huge, and they've got winding hallways and stuff like this, and I'm like, okay, it's my first day, and I'm not sure I can find my office again. And I'm like, that's the worst thing to say your first day is like, hey, you just hired me, and I can't find my own office. And I remember walking around for about 5 minutes to find my office.
Yeah, I had a similar experience, and I also distinctly remember recognizing faces in the hallway, like the who's who of the Microsoft technology elite. I mean, my first office was literally on the other side of the kitchen to Scott Guthrie's office. And then around the other corner was Scott Guthrie's boss at the time, Soma, who was the head of, you know, head of DevDiv. And I remember getting a coffee on the second day in the kitchenette, and I was standing in line behind Soma to get my coffee. And I just couldn't help myself. I said, oh, you know, you're Soma, aren't you? He's like, oh, yeah. I said, oh, well, you know, I just started, da, 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 da. And so it's funny because we talk about interviewing, we do a boss's boss's boss, and it gives you this, maybe gives people the idea that Microsoft has this huge hierarchy. Because one of the first things you do when you get your computer running is you get Outlook open, you do a bit of gal surfing, and you go up to see how many levels it is until you hit the Obama at the top, and it really isn't that many.
It's less now than it was.
It's less now than it was back then, and so, but even it is on a day-to-day basis, it's actually incredibly flat. You know, a lot of the times we end up having conversations with your boss's 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 boss, who might, you know, his boss might be Balmer or whatnot, or, you know, two levels away. It's pretty flat, despite the fact that, you know, HR-wise, there might be a few levels between you and someone you really, really know well.
You know, another funny aspect of that too is you know, you think this huge company, 100,000 people that you would never see, the Steve Ballmers, the Somas, the Scott Guthries, the Jason Zanders. And the campus is pretty amazing that on a regular basis, you're going to run into all those kinds of people. So you're going to run into your boss's boss's boss and have a chance to have a conversation in the hallway. My funniest rendition of this was I was in the parking deck one day, and Soma was behind me. And Soma had left his badge at home that day. And we have this policy that you're not supposed to ever let somebody in the door unless they have a badge. If they call it tailgating here, if you let somebody fall in with you at the door. And I remember someone was behind me, and I'm like, I just held the door open. I'm like, there's no way I'm gonna leave Soma standing in the parking garage and make nice. Him walk up to reception to get a badge to get in the building. Nice. So I've got a question for Taylor again. And we kind of talked about how you got here. What are you working on?
So right now I'm focusing on open source technology, more specifically on a piece of technology called SignalR. And SignalR is...
SignalR!
And it's basically allowing ASP.NET applications and any application in general to really be real-time. Right now there's a huge trend in the market going towards having real-time applications where if a certain person does something, then your friend or someone else will also see exactly what you do. Now, SignalR is kind of the framework to really allow developers and to allow people to make their applications have this ability. And we're really working on getting SignalR to just make that an easier process than it already is today.
So obviously, I'm very excited about this because SignalR is something I've been involved in since the very beginning. And in fact, I was just thinking about it yesterday. I'm trying to think back to where it all started, the inception point. And there was a presentation I did at MIX, which unfortunately is no longer around, one of my favorite conferences, but it was a year and a half ago. It was like last April. And it wasn't even called Signaler at that point. I think we'd given it a code name of WebQ or something. And I did an example of how to do AJAX long polling in ASP.NET asynchronously using SQL Server notification services, query notification services to get the updates from a background store, and how far we've come since then. So it's great that we've got, you know, a new developer on the team now working full time on Signaler. What type of things have we actually got you doing other than just I'm working on Signaler? What specifics have you worked on so far? We just did a release yesterday, so were you involved in that at all?
So you'll mostly hear from a lot of people like, oh, I don't work on anything that is potentially of use to a certain application. Here at Microsoft, that's not the case. I just started, and I had two features shipped in the latest version. I've already gone ahead and built feature for the next version, and obviously fixing bugs and really just making sure that Signaler is everything that is built up to be and really getting a product out so that all the users can really enjoy exactly what you do. So you get this really gratifying feeling of, wow, I'm doing something that now is going to affect thousands of people. So, yeah.
So I'm curious. I mean, we always hear outside of Microsoft that this is huge org with layers of management and stuff like that, and you can't get stuff done quickly. I'm hearing the opposite. I'm hearing that you joined, and within a few weeks, you're adding features already?
Yeah, actually, Signaler is completely based on GitHub, and I've had multiple pull requests with multiple features involved in them, and I just feel like I'm part of the team already. I feel like I've been here for a year, even though I've only been here for just over a month, just because of what they're having me do, and really, I guess they call it Microsoft drinking from the fire hose, where there's so much to learn, and if you're willing to learn it, which most people, if not all the people here are, then there's so much to gain.
So do you have any pet projects you're working on at the moment to do with Signaler or anything else? Is there something that, like, when you get in before me, get in before both Val and I, and you're in the team room, what are you working on before anyone else turns up?
Being a developer and loving what I do, I definitely have side projects. Right now, I'm actually working on a demo for Signaler. And again, Signaler is real-time, so making games. Making a game that will actually allow players to play against each other, have little ships shoot each other, and have as many players as they want. So something like this might seem like it takes years, like for some of these games that you see for multiplayer games. I've gone ahead and done it in around, a few hours? So it's just a little project which is made so much easier by just the simple application. So once I started working on it, I couldn't help but make something extra.
Well, that's cool, because I know David's working on a game as well. I won't use the name because I'm sure it's probably a complete rip-off of a real game's name. But I know he's been working on a game as well, so hopefully you two together, both working on different game samples, can land on a really good example that people can use to build HTML 5-based real-time games for Signaler. That'd be fantastic. You mean working on your cricket as well? Is that right?
Of course, I've got this little hallway, and you turn around the hallway and see two things. First is this awesome cricket setup, and I guess I'll leave the other one out for now, but the average 5 o'clock cricket in the hallway, you can't go wrong with that. It's just something that you have to do every day. It's team building, right? Yeah.
Yeah, great to hear. We have fun on the Signaler team. In fact, yesterday we were playing cricket. It was about 5:30, I think. And it's a deserted part of the building. I will say that, it's not really many people over there. And I think Fowler was batting and I was in an office fielding because occasionally the ball would come into the office. And I came out of the office and Goo was standing right in front of me. And Fowler was like, oh, don't hit Goo as he comes down the office. And I think he found that quite funny that we were playing cricket at 5:30 in the afternoon in outside our office. But it's all part of the Signaler team building experience, as you said.
Anyways, I want to thank Taylor for kind of explaining to us what it's like to interview, join, and start programming at Microsoft. We might be back next week. I don't know if we don't find Hanselman. This crew might be back next week doing another one of these podcasts. So thank you very much.